Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our study in the Gospel of John has brought us to chapter 19 and to the crucifixion of Christ, and then to the aftermath of the crucifixion, to the remarkable story of two wealthy and influential Jews who buried Christ honorably in a rich man's tomb, the first one being Joseph of Arimathea, but the second one being Nicodemus. And it is Nicodemus that we are focusing on now. For John mentions Nicodemus three times in his gospel, once in chapter 3 in the famous encounter with Christ where Jesus said, "Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And there we see Nicodemus, a man in search of truth. The second record of this man Nicodemus is found in John chapter 7. And this event is not nearly as well known as the first one. And let's read about it in John chapter 7 and verses 50 and 51. Actually, to get the background here, we must realize that the Jews were determined to kill Jesus and were looking for an occasion to capture him. That is the reason, we are told, why Jesus did not come to Jerusalem at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, though he urged his earthly brothers to go on to the feast ahead of him. And then Jesus came later, apparently after the start of the week-long feast, traveling inconspicuously, incognito, we would say today, and arriving quietly. And once there, he went publicly into the temple and taught openly with great effect upon the multitudes. The Jews, determined to kill him, sent officers, probably the temple guard, to arrest Jesus, but they returned empty-handed because the guards had been powerfully impacted by the force of Christ's words. They said in verse 45, "Then came the officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. And the Pharisees therefore derided these policemen for giving Christ a favorable hearing, for being impressed by Christ, asserting that only the ignorant could possibly be favorably impressed with Jesus. Verse 47 of John chapter 7. Then answered them of the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed." So you get the picture. They sent policemen to arrest Christ. The policemen came. They listened to Christ. They were impacted powerfully by his words. They came back without Christ. They were questioned as to why they didn't bring him. And they said, "Never a man spake like this man." In other words, they were so favorably impressed with his teaching that they couldn't bring themselves to arrest him. And the Pharisees derided them. "None of the rulers of the Pharisees have believed upon him," they said. "Only the ignorant could possibly be impressed with this man," they said, drawing themselves up to their full height and referring to their superior education, their superior knowledge, their superior religious understanding. It's kind of like today when people say, "Only the uneducated, only the unscientific could believe the Bible." There are a lot of skeptics, I think, who pride themselves in statements like that, but it just actually doesn't happen to be true. And it wasn't true in this case either in John chapter 7. And that's what brings us now to Nicodemus and the second record of Nicodemus in John's Gospel. For we read in verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, parenthesis, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. That's John's little commentary on who Nicodemus is. Nicodemus said unto them, and John wants to remind us who Nicodemus is. Remember the man I told you about back in chapter 3? The man who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, that is, one of the Pharisees, one of the members of the Sanhedrin, one of the ones that they had just said, none of the rulers of the Pharisees believe in him. But Nicodemus spoke up and said, verse 51, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he doeth? That was a good question. It was an unsettling question. It was a searching question. It was an appropriate question spoken by Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, being one of them. He was raising a point of truth on Christ's behalf, raising an inconvenient point of truth on Christ's behalf. Does our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he does? In other words, are you condemning the man without a trial? Are you condemning the man before you question him? Are you condemning the man before you call him in and ask him what he's doing and listen to what he says and give him an opportunity to explain and defend himself? Doesn't our law require that? Which, of course, it did. And these words of Nicodemus were obviously spoken in defense of Christ. It's a general defense. He doesn't specifically mention Jesus by name. He just raises a point of law. But it's a point of law which is favorable toward Christ and is protective of Christ when the others are trying to criticize Christ and to kill Christ, actually. And Nicodemus raises a very important, but as I say, inconvenient point of law in Christ's defense. He doesn't openly identify himself with Christ, but it is a brave defense. And what it does is put Nicodemus at odds with his peers and with the prevailing opinion of the other Pharisees, making him vulnerable to attack. You know, we need men and women brave enough to embrace truth regardless of the cost. We need men and women who will speak up for truth in society when it's under attack. We don't have to wear lapels on our pins necessarily, identifying us as followers of Jesus Christ, or chains around our neck with crosses on them and so forth. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that there is or is not. I'm just simply saying that there are a lot of ways to defend truth. And one of the most important ones is just to speak up when truth is being attacked. Sometimes all you have to do is just raise a point of information, a point of clarification, a point of misunderstanding that needs to be pointed out at that particular time. Sometimes that's all it takes. But when Nicodemus did that, he immediately attracted the scorn of these Pharisees. Verse 52, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. What were they doing? Well, they were suggesting that there was some connection between Christ and Nicodemus. Are you also from Galilee? Because, of course, they knew that Jesus was from Galilee. And they said, search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. In other words, Nicodemus, if you are convinced, if you are inclined to look favorably upon Jesus and to believe that he is a prophet sent from God, which the words of Nicodemus seem to indicate that that's what he was doing at this time, they are raising their own point of the law. You raise a point of law with us? You go to Christ's defense? You ask us if our law allows us to judge a man before it hears him, well, search the law for yourself and see if a prophet arises out of Galilee. See if the Old Testament scriptures prophesy any prophet coming from Galilee. Now, actually, there were some. For as best we can tell, Jonah, the prophet, was from Galilee. And as best we can tell, Hosea and Nahum were probably from Galilee. And Elijah and Elisha and Amos were possibly from Galilee. It's impossible to be certain, but that would appear to be the case. But the Pharisees had convinced themselves that there were no prophets out of Galilee in the Old Testament, and if Jesus was from Galilee, which in fact he was, that in itself, to them, was proof that he couldn't be a prophet from God, and certainly couldn't be the Messiah. They were grasping for straws, as we would say today. But Nicodemus, simply by raising this point of the law, it really was a rather mild thing that he said. They were casting scorn upon the policemen for their favorable impression of Jesus Christ. And all Nicodemus says is just, does our law allow us to condemn a man before it hears him and knows what he does? That's all he said. He didn't say, I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm in favor of Jesus. I think Jesus is a prophet of God. He didn't say any of that. He just raised a little but significant point of law, and they immediately turn their guns from the policeman and from Jesus and turn them on Nicodemus. That's the reason why a lot of God's people don't speak up more for Christ, because to do so will often make you the object of scorn. But dear friends, if you're not willing to pay that price, then you must not think very much of Jesus. If you're not willing to pay a price like that, then I wonder if you've ever truly been regenerated by the saving power of Jesus Christ. For if you are a true believer in Jesus, you ought to be willing to follow truth wherever it leads, whether it is the popular position or not. But what does all this say to us about Nicodemus, which is the real point? And it shows that he continues to have a vital interest in Christ. In chapter 3, he's a seeker of truth. He seems to have an interest in Christ, but we don't know what impact the encounter, the interview that he had with Christ, has made upon his soul. But now as we come to chapter 7, it's evident that there's a growing respect for Christ and his word. And though Nicodemus is still unwilling to be openly and publicly identified with Christ, he nevertheless, obviously, has a favorable impression of Christ. I think it would be accurate to say he is a secret disciple of Christ, just like Joseph of Arimathea. Convinced, at least intellectually, that Jesus is the Messiah. And yet he's not quite yet where he needs to be, but he is moving in the right direction. And we'll be more encouraged when we look more closely again at the third account of Nicodemus in John chapter 19. And so I'll invite you to join me tomorrow as we take up that account. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.